You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
November the 10th, 2022, hoorah, the Marine Corps 247th birthday. Semper Fi to my fellow Marines, and of course tomorrow will be Veterans Day. So we honor all of our military on that day as well. I remind you, we are live streaming as I speak at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com right now, enter in the search engine, one word, Larry Connors, USA. It'll take you right to our page, and you can watch us in studio live if you want then, or if you can't now, you can go back and do it later. I see many of you. In fact, I'm seeing dozens that they want to watch. They want to see inside the studio and some of the antics that sometimes I get into, but whatever. But you watch it at your pleasure. That's fine. And I remind you, there's a podcast of every program that goes up shortly after we go off the air, so you don't miss anything. You can subscribe for free to either and or both. Cost you nothing. We do not share your information. I do want to share this with you. Control of Congress, of course, still hanging in the balance. Which party is going to control the Senate and the House, still undecided. For the most part, Republicans seem to be getting closer to the 218 seats that would give the majority, but there's still some races hard to call for fact at this point. We do know in the Senate races, Arizona and Nevada still weighing in the balance. And, of course, Georgia's contest has to be held again December 6th for a runoff. But here is something that should incense, I don't care which side of the ballot you voted, Arizona's Maricopa County, the biggest in that state, has not started counting 290,000 early ballots that got dropped off on Election Day. Now, Kerry Lake, who is the former TV anchor running for the governor's office in Arizona, had said, those are probably mostly Republican votes. They would be going to me. But her opponent, who also wants to be governor, is currently Secretary of State, and there seems to be a little glitch here and there for some reason. 290,000 early ballots dropped off on Election Day, and they haven't even started counting them. And they want us to just simply accept every time that all the elections are being held proper and legal. I want them to be that way. Even if my candidate loses. But I'm not interested in any hijinks and shell games. Communist Chinese admitting that they are keeping a lot of secrets about the pandemic in their own country. They refuse to list information about the rate of suicides under China's severe and seemingly endless coronavirus lockdowns. Some high-profile tragedies have gotten past the communist censors. There was one story that a lockdown horror story of a 55-year-old woman jumped from the 12th floor of her apartment building. The Chinese communists say, well, there was some kind of domestic dispute. And then you also have the Chinese dictator Xi visiting Beijing Central Military Commission Command Center, telling soldiers, prepare to fight and win any future wars. Well, now, that's what a president and a general should be telling troops. Doesn't say, do it now, we're going to do it tomorrow, we're invading Taiwan or anything else, but prepare to fight and win. Whereas in our country, what we seem to be doing, you guys need to get together, and because we're holding a critical race theory class later today. And make sure you use your proper pronouns. In the meantime, Russian President Putin's going to skip a gathering of the world leaders from the group of 20 nations on the Indonesian resort island of Bali. He's going to stay at home. because his absence means he can avoid the prospect of being in the same room with Joe Biden for the first time since Ukraine invasion started. Joe Biden's still taunting the media and the pundits about these mid-election reports of a red wave. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. He has every reason to laugh and joke about. And then he also adds, knowing that there are going to be some House investigations if Republicans get control, he said, oh, they may try to go ahead and go after my son Hunter. And when asked what he thinks about it, he said, I think people are going to look at all that and see it's just a comedy. Laugh, laugh.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
And we've seen cracks, too, in the narrative at Fox News as well. Online, but also now on the air, spilling over, say, how did this happen? I mean, they were dumbstruck by the results of the election Tuesday night. And it all leads back to Donald Trump. There's no avoiding that. You know, I mean, you can make the case that they had bad candidates. Well, a lot of those bad candidates were there because of Donald Trump.
Well, exactly.
So all roads lead back to him. And they believe if Tuesday night was any indication of where things headed, they just can't afford even politically to have him still pulling the strings on the party.
You know, that is not too far-fetched from what a lot of folks are beginning to think. That is one of the anchors on MSNBC on the Morning Joe show, and saying we were already seeing that there were cracks in the facade of even those on the right and even inside Fox News, that they're realizing Trump might have messed things up worse than we thought he might. I mean, he endorsed a lot of candidates going into primaries, and he had a 90% win record. But you have to understand the game that's being played behind the scenes. Democrats were dumping a lot of money in to support the very candidates he was supporting because they were confident that they could beat them in the general election. And if that was the playbook, it certainly appears to work, didn't it? So you have the so-called red wave, which we have pointed out previously to you, and I'm gonna deal with that a little bit more at the end. I told you I've got a essay piece I've written, and I'm not sure if it's gonna be published or not. It's just I'm gonna do it anyway. But I mean, it's some things I thought I wanted to get off my chest a little bit more so than what I can do normally on this program, but there were many that were buying in 100% plus that this was going to be a massive red wave. I thought it could well be. I had some hesitancy because I've seen these kinds of predictions before, and you kind of begin to worry a little bit that, yeah, you know, if it's going to be that strong, I mean, I hope it is, but I wasn't totally sold. I'm not trying to get out of saying that I believed it was going to happen, because I did. But there were some that were believing it more so, and in some cases it was. But at the critical stages, especially the Senate races, there was no real sweep of that. My previous guest in the last segment, John LeBoutier, former U.S. congressman, had pointed out that, you can look in New York State, while Lee Zeldin did not win the governorship because it's just too vast blue in that state, he did get within 5% of Hochul. And by the way, John had also pointed out, he said, I don't even think Herschel Walker, who's in that runoff election coming up against Warnock, coming up in December, is even wants to be in the office. And he also pointed out, and I haven't double-checked the numbers, but I will trust John for this, that he said he only got 8% of the black vote. That's probably true. Now, whether or not the other black vote was siphoned off by the other candidate that caused a split, I don't know yet. But John did say, can you imagine Herschel walking through the House and the Congress and somebody ask him about the ceiling, the debt ceiling and things of that nature, if he could even respond? And, of course, I'm being real Mr. Smart arse as I can be. Well, what about Fetterman walking through the halls of the Senate being asked questions? And John quickly said, well, he's a lot smarter than Herschel Walker. And then John just sent this to me. And he's also replied, I love it. He pointed out John Fetterman's education. He went to Harvard. And I said, well, I thank you, John. I'll get a mention in, which I'm doing. And I said, of course, I remind you that, as if I had to remind him, that John, you said, you, John LeBoutier, you said, and you wrote a book titled Harvard Hates America. But then he said, he added another note, said, Larry, you were comparing Fetterman to Herschel. I doubt Herschel Walker could find Boston on a map. We're friends, but the barbs go back and forth. And what was happening on Election Day, there were a lot of barbs going back and forth, and some were not so friendly. Some was friendly fire that might have taken out somebody that could have won. And some of it was doing what they could to destroy everybody. Eugene Robinson, Washington Post columnist, had his summation.
They were so sure they were just going to sweep to these big majorities in the House and the Senate, and it was going to be, you know, happy days are here again, or the Republican version of that, and it absolutely ain't that. You know, they got to look at Trump,
right,
who was responsible for a lot of this. They also need to look at those exit polls. They need to look at those issues that voters were concerned about. They were concerned about democracy. They were concerned about abortion.
Yeah.
And yes, they were concerned about inflation.
Right.
But it wasn't all inflation. There are other things, and they are on the wrong side of these issues.
Well, of course, when it came to being on the wrong side of the issue, obviously some would certainly agree with that, and some would have a disagreement. One thing John LeBoutier pointed out in the last hour, he was talking about how many young women and college students were registering, and it was really because of Roe v. Wade. Now, I did cite for you earlier that an exit poll showed that 68% of unmarried women favored Democrats in the midterm elections. That is a vast number to overcome. So with the way things went down, a reporter raised a question to President Biden.
You mentioned that Americans are frustrated, and in fact, 75% of voters say the country is heading into the wrong direction despite the results of last night. What in the next 2 years do you intend to do differently to change people's opinion of the direction of the country, particularly as you contemplate a run for president in 2024?
Nothing, because they're just finding out what we're doing.
The more they know about what we're doing, the more support there is.
That was his answer. Now, the survey that, I don't know if this is the particular survey the reporter was referring to, but it was a CBS News survey, basically, that was talking about that many Americans do not want Joe Biden to run for president again, and that 32% leaving the polls on Election Day also said inflation was the number one issue on their mind. 27% said abortion was their biggest concern. That was a pretty high number compared to what we were being told earlier. 12% said crime. 12% said gun policy. 10% said immigration. So, again, back to Biden, he's, in his mind, standing on firm ground.
So I'm not going to change the direction. I said I ran for three reasons. I'm going to continue to stay where I am. And I know I fully understand the legitimate concern that what I'm saying is wrong, okay? One is that I said we're going to restore the soul of the country, begin to treat each other with decency, honor, and integrity. And it's starting to happen. People are the conversations are becoming more normal, becoming more, how can I say it, decent.
Or civil. And I do agree that a lot of this rhetoric needs to be toned down. Some of you might say, well, Larry, you seem to be in fire a lot. I do, but I'm also trying to be careful that we keep it within some bounds of civility. And at the same time, we can have discourse if we're differing over things, but we don't have to get violently angry and attack each other. I'm talking about physically attacking. And, of course, that's where the Democrats quickly bring up, look what happened January 6th. And then what happened to Paul Pelosi? But I don't hear them talking about what happened to Lee Zeldin when he was running and he was nearly knifed to death while he was speaking, Lee Zeldin. And or the shooting that took place outside his home when his daughters were home alone. Or the guy that was caught trying to sneak into Justice Kavanaugh's house, apparently to tie up the family and maybe kill them. No, all that stuff has to be put aside. But based upon what we've seen in the so-called red wave, which may be a red, we can't get the word wave out because there was no wave. And Joe Biden being questioned about, is this set the stage for you to say, count on me, I'll be here in 2024?
Our intention is to run again. That's been our intention, regardless of what the outcome of this election was. The fact that we won, I didn't run, the fact that the Democratic Party outperformed anything anyone expected and did better than any off-year presidency since John Kennedy, is one that gives everybody like, whew, sigh of relief that the mega Republicans are not taking over the government again, etc. So my judgment of running when I announce, if I know, my intention is that I run again. But I'm a great respecter of fate, and this is ultimately a family decision. I think everybody wants me to run, but we're going to have discussions about it. And I don't feel in any hurry one way or another.
Obviously, a lot of attention on 2024 now that the votes have been cast in the midterms. Two-thirds of Americans in exit polls say that they don't think you should run for re-election. What is your message to them, and how does that factor into your final decision about whether or not to run for re-election?
It doesn't.
What's your message to them, to those two-thirds of Americans?
Watch me.
I give the man credit for that kind of answer. And watch me. Well, we are watching. He continued to taunt the media, the pundits, and all the posters, of course. I mean, it wasn't exactly Dewey wins type thing, but bottom line is it was not what some were expecting and speculating. And, of course, again, those on the right, if they had been predicting something that did happen and the others were denying it, well, they'd be mocking it and having fun and celebrations and lifting champagne glasses and cheering and jeering. So the Democrats, the liberals, are doing the same. They cannot be condemned for it because, I'm telling you, the other side would do it as well.
I'm not bringing this up to say we were right. I'm bringing this up to say it's shocking what some of these polling aggregate places were doing.
Mm-hmm.
They made it look like a wave election by putting in a bunch of BS Republican polls, putting in a bunch of BS slanted polls. And we kept saying, and the people who really know kept saying, this doesn't feel like a normal wave year. It could be. It should be. You look at inflation. You look at, at what people are saying. Crumb. It should be a wave year. It never felt like one to us here.
And the only wave that truly existed from border to border, north to south, east to west, was in Florida. And when we return, we're going to hear from Governor DeSantis again and talk about how and why they stood out ahead of the others. And we're going to look at the money that was spent on some of these campaigns. And I've got a guest coming up that says one reason the Republicans did not have the, quote, red wave, they went silent on an issue that the Dems were still pushing, and they missed an opportunity. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
After 4 years, the people have delivered their verdict. Freedom is here to stay. We saw freedom in our very way of life, and so many other jurisdictions in this country wither on the vine. Florida held the line.
That was one of the highlights of Election Day, Florida and DeSantis. He defeated the Democrat challenger, Congressman Charlie Crist, by 1.5 million votes. Now, Crist had also been governor at one time. And every elected position in Florida is red. Every elected position. I shared with you yesterday a piece by Jim Garrity from the National Review. I want to go back to that briefly. He wrote, I don't know if Ron DeSantis became the front runner for the 2024 Republican nomination. I do know he should be the front runner. He is far and away the strongest candidate. He has had a sweeping change, or led a sweeping change, in one of the country's most consequential states. And then he was talking about Trump in there and talking about the fact that Trump has announced he wants to run for president. He might announce later this month. That's to be either the 14th or 15th. And Garrity says, why? What's he got to offer? A lot of folks asking that question. Even those who were Trump supporters and voters, even so-called MAGAs, because if you can't win, you got to change the game plan. Now, in football teams, maybe the idea is, well, let's fire the coach, start there. That didn't work. Okay, let's get a new quarterback. Maybe that'll work. Beef up the line, so forth and so on. But bottom line from Garrity, based on what we saw with the so-called red wave and where we thought things were going to be going. He said, we got a situation where parents livid about learning losses at school. The dissatisfied and angry, 7 in 10 said they were dissatisfied and angry with the state of the country. The economy described as poor or not good. He said, if you can't elect a Republican in an environment like this, when can you? That is crucial. Well, you can throw more money at it, maybe you win. No, that doesn't always work either. Democrats spent nearly $200 million on Beto O'Rourke and Stacey Abrams, money that failed to make their races against Republican incumbents even competitive. If you recall, Abrams trailing Governor Kemp by 9 points with 72% of the vote reported the other night, $100 million on her campaign. O'Rourke raising $77 million, and he trailed Texas Governor Abbott by more than 10 points. Both of them were doing all this because they're now high-profile losers. Abrams lost to Kemp in 2018 by 1.5 points, and she said, well, I conceded, but still it was stolen or rigged. And O'Rourke said, well, I can't believe after losing to Cruz by 2 points, he had $80 million on him in that time, that the highest amount ever spent for a U.S. Senate campaign at that time. He said in his short-lived presidential bid, he said, I cannot fathom a scenario where I would run for office if I don't become the Democrat nominee. Well, they aren't the only Democrats who raked in money and lost. Congresswoman Val Demings, Democrat, 16-point loss to Florida Senator Marco Rubio, costing her nearly $70 million. But it was not the red wave. The Senate is still hanging the balance. The House is going to be narrowly held by, we would say, Republicans at this point. And my next guest says that part of the reason is Republicans. There are Republicans out there that did a great job, and then there are others who lost their spine on one of the most critical issues facing the nation. Can you guess what that is? I'll be back with my guest. Please stand by.
Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So there is a lot of blame to go around as to why Republicans didn't muster a true red wave. And the midterm just fell kind of flat. You know, you pop the champagne and actually there's no pop. It's just a, you know, that's about it. No bubbles. You might as well get a soap bottle and blow bubbles through one of those little rings or whatever, and that's about the only way you're going to get bubbles with that champagne. But what went wrong? Well, one source, if you're looking for blame, saying Republicans who are typically outspoken on abortion, especially during the primaries, they went quiet following the Supreme Court Dobbs decision and the Kansas abortion referendum. Even as talking points from major GOP committees recommended the opposite. Why and what happened? Was it on one hand, many saying, well, it's so far back, it's June, it's not going to be that big of an issue. I just read your numbers a moment ago that out of the number of women who registered, many of them were rating abortion higher than even crime. Abortion issues, let me put it that way. My guest is Sean Carney. He's the president and CEO of a group titled 40 Days for Life. Sean, glad to have you on board.
Good to be on. Thanks for having me.
First, explain to us, what is 40 Days for Life?
Well, we're the largest grassroots pro-life organization in the world. We hold peaceful, law-abiding vigils outside of abortion facilities in 1,000 cities across the United States, and we're also in 65 countries around the world.
So what is the importance of the statement 40 days for life? What's the point?
Well, the time period is biblical, and so we use 40 days of what we could do in any given community at any given abortion facility to end abortion. So we do 40 days of prayer, fasting, and then we stand vigil for 40 straight days, either 24 hours a day or 12 hours a day for 40 straight days. And we do two campaigns a year, one in the fall and then one in the spring.
And when you say 40 days in biblical, yes, you go back to Numbers, you find that God was telling the Israelites that, you know, for your 40, if you're going to spend 1 year in the desert for every day that you were grumbling for 40 days. And, so it all circles back to religion to that extent. Now, the point you're making here, well, first of all, you have another vigil coming up, and where is that? You say you hold it all across the nation and the world the same day and time?
Yeah, it just completed last Sunday. We had our largest 40 Days for Life campaign ever. It was in 622 cities around the world, and the next one will be during Lent next spring. And we also have about 80 cities that do year-round vigils outside of abortion facilities, offering free medical alternatives through our 40 Days for Life 365 program.
All right, and you say no violence. You stand there quietly in prayer and vigil. Is that correct?
Yes. No. We're not crazy. We follow the law. People come out. We've helped 22,000 moms who have chosen life right before their abortion. We've helped 244 abortion a change of mind on this issue and needed a job. And so we are there for hearts and minds for sure.
All right. I'm looking at a piece that came out of your group pointing out about the lack of the red wave, and you point out that it didn't happen. And he said, we did see a lot of strong and unapologetic pro-life candidates winning. Pro-life candidates like Governors DeSantis, Kemp, DeWine, Abbott, all widely successful, blowing pro-abortion, pro-murder opponents out of the water. But meanwhile, in your words here, weak, cowardly pro-life politicians were unsuccessful in their races. These results prove that Americans showed up the ballot box for candidates who are unashamed to defend the unborn and reject candidates who turn their back on the unborn. Now, when you say pro-life politicians, I'm also getting the impression from you that in that mix, you're talking about Republicans who were lacking spine.
Absolutely. I mean, the Supreme Court gave us a great opportunity when they got rid of bad law, as Ginsburg called it, and is trying to legally drag our country out of 1973 science with this archaic Roe v. Wade. And the Republicans, many of the pro-life politicians, just didn't own it. Beto in Texas ran against Greg Abbott, where I live, and his whole thing was on abortion. He was going to expand abortion rights. He was going to get rid of the abortion bans in Texas. All of that was his whole campaign, and nobody had more money than that guy this fall, and he got killed, and you see the same with Kemp and DeSantis. I mean, what inch of Florida did DeSantis not win? All of them defended their actions for the pro-life movement, and I think that there was this divide, it seems to be, that the Republicans had, where half of them were running around sort of apologizing that the Supreme Court overturned Roe. So I don't think they were prepared.
Were they even discussing it, or were they just saying, where issues are, as James Carville said when Clinton was facing Bush, it's the economy, stupid, and let's just, that's the focus. And even, you even had Carville saying, you got to quit all this talk about the woke and culture and stuff like that, or even abortion. He said, that's not the issue. It's a money issue. It's a kitchen table issue.
Well, go ahead. It's so stupid. I mean, they learned nothing from Governor Youngkin. He ran on the issues that everybody was talking about, the woke, the transgender, abortion. His opponent also ran as a highly pro-abortion and loud and proud. That usually fails. You can't ignore it if the other side is motivated. And the other side was motivated with the overturning of Roe. So you can't ignore their issue. You'll lose them, and that's what happened.
We were talking earlier about that 68% of unmarried women favored Democrats compared to 31% who favored Republicans. That's based on exit polls. And I'm looking at this number here. I don't see anything that says specifically that Roe v. Wade figured in. A lot of people were of the belief, and I have to admit I was one, but here the exit polling does show abortion was a major driver on those women going to vote. 33% said abortion was their most important issue. 77% of those same ones said we're supporting Democrat candidates.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, the Democrats also ran pro-abortion ads and outspent Republicans on pro-abortion ads by a margin of 35 to 1. So, I mean, the airwaves were that the sky is falling. It's the end of the world because Roe was overturned. And that certainly scared women. And there are a lot of single women that were nervous. And so they voted Democrat. But the Democrats, I think, did a good job of selling abortion, which is a very hard sale because you have to deny science and deny reason and deny
their suggestion was that now you can't get an abortion anywhere, which was a lie. You could. But
lie.
Certain states had restrictions, some more restrictive than others. And my personal belief is that, you know, I think that, and I pray that those children that are saved from abortion, because it's going to be a little harder for some women who want to get an abortion. It's going to be a little harder than simply calling up and going for a pedicure. They're going to have to go out of state and travel, that maybe during that time that they will rethink what they're doing. I assume you would accept that that's maybe, I could see hundreds of thousands of children being saved like that. The others, they're willing to accept abortion up to the moment of birth.
Oh, the conservative estimate is 50,000 in Texas alone so far over the last year and a half when we had the heartbeat bill and now with the overturning of Roe. Distance is a huge deterrent for having an abortion. And, you know, we don't treat other surgeries like this because this one isn't healthcare. You don't have to justify cardiovascular surgery or chemo.
Yeah, but there are two patients in the room, the woman and the baby. A doctor would have to admit he's got two patients in front of him at that point. One quick thing in the last 30 seconds. You said you were able to get many to turn away because they were going to get an abortion because their economic status, I mean, they didn't have a job, or they had nowhere to go. And if you don't offer an alternative, they see that is the only alternative. Quickly.
Exactly. And, you know, now there's the free medical help. The free pregnancy resource centers outnumber abortion providers 5 to 1 in America. There are plenty of resources. We're a good country. We take care of our own. And the pro-life movement has shown that. But you got to use fear to sell abortion. You certainly can't talk about the surgery itself because it's a very barbaric reality.
Correct. Literally off of their head. Sean Carney, 40 Days for Life CEO and President, thank you. We'll be talking in the future. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Coming up, we're going to share my thought on it's time to put the woke to sleep.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
All right, this woke culture is just the kind of thing that just, it's, they will tell you we want to be inclusive when they really mean exclusive, that they mean that you must abide by what we say and we decide, otherwise you're wrong and we are correct. I'm going to give that in more detail, but let me give you a perfect latest example. Brian Nguyen, or Nguyen maybe, a biological male identifying as a female, just won the Miss Greater Derry 2023 in New Hampshire, making Brian the first transgender title holder within the Miss America organization. And she's so excited about it. I'm happy for them, I guess. They earn a scholarship, but I think about others that wanted the opportunity. We've already seen a biological male identifying as a woman win the title of Miss Nevada USA. Transgender models were appearing on Sports Illustrated annual swimsuit issue. Biological males destroying women in sports. I keep pointing out, wait, just wait. And of course, women are beginning to fight back because they're being treated like we don't even exist anymore. If you're a biological female, you don't really exist. I keep waiting for the boys in swim meets to realize the competitor on the board next to them is a mermaid. I will bet she will beat you in the pool. What do you think? Miss Universe has changed its rules to include transgender women. Just 7 days ago, Anita Green sued Miss U.S. of America, claiming the eligibility rules, which require contestants to be natural-born females, is wrong. So that's still being fought out. All right, here's a piece I want to share with you. I wrote this. This is something I was spending my time on at 3:30 in the morning. I gave it a title, Time to Put the Woke to Sleep. The eagerly anticipated and expected red wave was a joke, but in the midst of analyzing votes and licking wounds, there is a sickening reality. This is not just a battle for the numbers in the Senate, House, state offices. This was a fight to fiercely turn back how the woke is preying on our children. There was an opportunity to deliver mandates to the woke. No drag queens performing in front of our children, no pushing children to mutilate their bodies, no teaching critical race without efforts to also bludgeon children with guilt, no telling parents the state knows what's best for your kids, no acceptance for abortion at birth. Well, all that opportunity failed. The 2022 midterm elections delivered no mandates. On the contrary, it signaled the woke, you now have a green light. Now, point out, in April 2021, political strategist James Carville proclaimed in a Vox interview, wokeness is a problem and we all know it. And he said Democrats have a messaging problem. That was 2021. And he just in more recent interviews complained Democrats were going to suffer going into the midterm, which they did not suffer that much. But he said because they got to quit pushing woke agendas and focus on kitchen table issues. Just 4 days before this election, by the way, Bill Maher on our podcast stated, Republicans are going to do so well because the left has gone super crazy with lots of S that the average American just never voted for, doesn't recognize in this country, doesn't want. And CNN exit polls were showing the majority of voters were more concerned about the economy, inflation, rising costs, not woke issues. That's CNN's exit poll. But again, there was no red wave because despite such advice and evidence to and from Democrat Party leaders, the woke stranglehold grip has tightened. They're still there running as silent as a submarine in enemy waters, but they still have their targets in the periscope, just biding their time. Woke teachings range from sexuality to race to whatever is the latest boutique issue. Woke activists, including doctors, psychologists, professors, teachers, enlightened students, citizens, corporations, and their leaders. The American Conservative Values Poll, providing a prime example in an August 2022 Newsweek cover story, including Disney, Meta, which was Facebook, Alphabet, which is Google, that gives you a clear example of how deeply embedded the woke culture is. In woke, there is no real science, history, biology. It is a warped, exclusive, yet non-exclusive vision of shaming and controlling. The 2019 Democracy Fund survey asked, are there two genders, male and female? 59% agreed. 43% strongly agreed. 32% disagreed. No surprise that 78% Republicans agreed, only two genders. Here's the kicker. Of all those surveyed, 9%, are there only males and females? Not sure. They are ripe for the woke. Enough, enough. I am convinced more Americans are willing to take a firm stand despite these barbed and slanderous attacks, and it is time to put the woke to sleep. I thank you very much for listening to this program. If you're watching on Rumble.com, share it with others, will you? You can subscribe for free. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.